Yo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? Move go.
Move's good, bro. Move is easy since the place is furnished. Just kind of spent the last couple hours just
hanging up clothes and setting everything up, but all done now. Everything's in the storage downstairs. All the clothes is packed away.
Places. It's awesome. Moving is always such a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah.
It always takes me so long to even like unpack.
Yeah, bro. It's. And this was like a double move. So I had a friend of mine moving into my old apartment. So I had to help him the day before move all his shit into my flat. And then I had to grab all the stuff from my apartment, obviously load it up, and then move in today. So otherwise, it's done. I spent the whole day just getting it done. So it's done and can't complain anymore.
Very nice. Very nice. Did you get a chance to catch the fights last night?
Yeah, bro. I actually watched them live because they were in a decent time. I think they finished around 2 a.m. here. So.
Oh, that nice. That's not too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, very nice, very nice.
Pretty solid, bro.
What'd you think?
I thought Anderson looked like he was in the best shape he's been in the last couple of fights. Like physically, he looked very like chiseled, I'd say, for a 45-year-old man. In some of his other fights, he was looking like a little flabby, like carrying some old man weight essentially, but he looked like he was in great shape. And I thought he was doing a pretty decent job, like clearly won the first round until he got dropped in the second. He was winning that round. I agree. The age just catches up with you at some point, man. And you just can't handle taking those punches from young guys in their prime the same way, you know?
I agree. I mean, honestly, I'm with you. I thought Anderson looked the best he had in a long time up until the point they started getting tagged. And, but that said, I feel like you can't be a striker and not have a chin anymore. And that's kind of where Anderson is. Because I feel like if, for instance, George St. Pierre lost his chin, he would have still been able to fight well because he'd just grapple.
Yeah, you know,
and so, like, you know, and unfortunately, Uriah Hall isn't somebody you can take too many strikes from, even when you have a good chin, you know, because he has a ton of knockout power. And Anderson was tagging him very well, but I also don't know how much he was hurting him.
Yeah, it didn't seem like much, to be honest with you.
It didn't. He was landing good combos, but nothing seemed to really have, you know, much stopping power on it.
Yeah. I was hoping he would throw some more, like, body kicks, head kicks, like, not try to pick too much on the inside and the outside low kicks. Like, try to set up the head kicks and stuff like that. And I know that Uriah's corner, like, saw the kicks coming, like, saw the kicks being set up, essentially. Like, saw the cues that Anderson was kind of doing with his body to kind of show that he was trying to set up the high kicks. But at the end of the day, it's like he's a master, man. The guy is one of the best strikers to ever walk through the UFC. The guy's one of the most versatile strikers ever. And I thought just sticking to his hands was kind of like a death wish.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, like, you know, maybe you know better than I would, but I can't remember a time that Anderson ever put somebody out with his hands.
The only time I remember is Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, and James Irvin.
James
too,
Irvin. Yeah. The rest are all knees, kicks, submissions.
Exactly. And, like, you know, but he was never somebody who was known for having devastating power in his hands.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to take any strikes from Anderson Silva, but, like, but generally, yeah, they come from knees, kicks, a couple elbows.
Yeah.
And but very 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 seldom the hands. And he was definitely very boxing heavy, more than I've seen him, you know, really ever.
For sure.
But for the most part, I mean, I thought Uriah, you know, he looked great, and Uriah was like really struggling to kind of read him.
Yeah.
But once Hall's confidence came up, that was when
turning the kind of started to be on fire.
Anderson started being on borrowed time at that point.
Exactly. After he dropped him the first time, I kind of knew that he was on borrowed time. I figured that Uriah kind of had the one up on him at that point. It was just a matter of time before he caught him again and had the opportunity to put him away. But regardless of what Dana White said after the fight, I actually thought Anderson fought. It was a valiant effort, bro. Four rounds with Uriah Hall. I mean, the guy's obviously no joke. Like, a lot of power in his hands, power in his kicks. Anderson,
what did Dana say?
Dana was saying that he shouldn't have let Anderson, like, go out and fight. Said he shouldn't have let that happen. But
I think that's dumb. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
again,
regardless, he looked good.
Yeah. I mean, and Uriah Hall's knocked out plenty of people, and yeah. you wouldn't say, well, they shouldn't let them go out. I mean, if they really wanted, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just say it's a dumb statement, you know, because, like, Anderson has still largely only fought top guys.
Only.
You know, for the most part.
He's never fought anyone that's not in the top 15 in his entire career.
Exactly. Nick Diaz is the only one who I would say isn't a top guy. You know, just because, like, he has Nick Diaz, but Nick Diaz is one of those who is perennially up there.
Exactly.
I'm surprised to hear Dana say that. I'm glad he didn't try to bury Anderson, because I figured that might be coming, because it did come out from Anderson's people that he wasn't planning on retiring. He's not planning on fighting the UFC.
Yeah.
And so I half figured Dana to, like, say something shitty about him.
Yeah.
You know, as Dana sometimes will. But
I think at this point he just needs to wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, he doesn't have his chin anymore, at least not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I really don't need to see him fight a guy like Musasi or whatever.
I was just going to say, if he fights a guy like Musasi, he's going to get pummeled.
Exactly. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's just planning on, like, doing roids again, and then maybe I'd give him a little more of a shot.
Fight for one FC and just get the TRT going again.
Exactly. Because, I mean, let's be real. I think you can kind of tell when Anderson stopped juicing and, you know, and then when he was.
Yeah.
You know, because but also, too, part of that could just be age, because he is 45. You know, he's not going to have. It's going to be hard to have the same pop on your kicks and knees and all that.
Exactly. But, I mean, you could tell after the fight he was in physical pain. Like, his whole body, you could tell he was limping his way, like, to the back. And he was like, like, you could tell that after those four rounds, he was feeling it at 45.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and truthfully, like, because as good as I thought Anderson looked, Hall was hanging in there, you know, even when Hall was losing, like, he was still going stride for stride. I just thought, you know, and this is sort of an issue with Hall in general, is that he's content to let his opponents lead a lot, you know, because he can be such a slow starter. He can be very tentative. You know, he famously is in his head so much that he'll kind of let whoever he's fighting sort of dictate the pace and all that. But I thought, you know, Hall was doing great, you know, even when he was losing. And so it's, I don't know, I'm surprised to hear Dana say that. I'm bummed that Anderson got knocked out in the last time we'll see him in the UFC, but kind of is what it is.
But he's undoubtedly one of the best middleweights to ever do it, if not the best middleweight to ever do it. I think his resume and his win streaks and the way he's finishing guys and the way he was fighting people in his prime, there's not a lot of people that can mimic that. So he's undoubtedly one of the best to ever do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the consistent three that you hear in the GOAT conversation are he and John Jones, one and two. And then occasionally you'll hear GSP thrown in. That's GSP is usually mine, but you know, it's like, so nobody can dispute that. I mean, Anderson's amazing. You know, I mean, the only time people kind of give him crap are because he did piss hot at one point.
Yeah,
and they try to say he didn't fight top competition, but I feel like that argument only ever comes up when you have such a huge gap between the number one and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because GSP had a similar thing. Yeah, he had a way of making great guys not looking competitive.
Yeah, and you know, fair enough. I mean? And if you think about it, any of those guys that GSP or Anderson Silva were fighting when they were in their primes and title fights, if they had been in organizations like Bellator, wherever, you know, KSW, any of these other organizations, they would have been champs.
Oh, absolutely.
Damian Maia would have been a champ. You know what I'm saying? Like, middleweight contender, that was a lackluster fight for Anderson, right? But
yeah, I mean, look at Musasi. And Musasi was middle of the road in the UFC. You know what I mean? He's a great fighter, but he was middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, one of the most dominant ones that Bellator has.
Exactly.
You know, and you got Ryan Bader, too.
Yeah. I like this Vadim Nemkov guy. Fedor's prodigy. He's awesome. That guy's a monster.
Yeah,
haven't seen much of Bellator lately, but Did you catch any of the other fights on the main card? Bobby Green lost, unfortunately, to Thiago Moises.
Yeah.
It
was a good fight, I watched the main card. I didn't see the undercard.
Yeah, Kevin Holland looked good.
Yep, he did.
I think that's 4-0 for the year.
Yeah, definitely.
That's crazy. And
was that the fight with the neck injury?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad we didn't see somebody get paralyzed.
Yeah, for real, man. Crazy.
you know what I mean?
Unfortunately, Greg Hardy walked out of there with a W.
Yep. I do think at this point he probably needs to fight a name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the last name he fought was Volkov. And that was a fight that he wasn't really slated to, you know, to be in for. Because I think he stepped in short notice.
Yeah, it was a late replacement.
At this point, you know, Hardy should be fighting a name. I've heard people call for him versus Derek Lewis.
That'd be cool.
Unfortunately, kind of is what it is. I mean, Hardy, as much as I would have loved for Hardy to already be done at the UFC,
he's just a competitor.
Exactly. He's a great competitor, and he's a great athlete. You know what I mean? He is at the point, though, where he does deserve to fight the name opponent, so like a Derek Lewis or somebody like that.
And he was one of the – he was going to be the first heavyweight to ever miss weight if he hadn't gone out and cut that extra 2 pounds or whatever.
That would have been crazy. Yeah, we've never seen anybody not make the 265 mark.
Yeah.
Oof.
That would have been nuts.
That is a big boy.
He's massive, bro. And, I mean, credit to him, bro. He hurt that man with a jab, bro. He hurt that man bad with a jab.
Yes, he did. And
it's a testament to his power, bro.
It is, yeah. I thought Hardy has been looking worse ever since he started to try to fight technically.
Yeah.
Like, really, I think he should still just be trying to wing that right hand.
Oh, for sure. He should just go in there and just, like, try to, like, bite his mouthpiece and just, like, wait for guys to come in and then just start throwing fucking haymakers.
Well, exactly. Because, I mean, the reality is he's not going to be able to develop the technical skill to hang in there with guys like Volkov. You know,
his striking is very tight, right? Like, his shoulders are always so tight, like, when he's throwing punches.
Exactly. He's so clenched. He's like, so clenched and very rigid. And that just generally doesn't lead to good technical striking. With striking, you want to flow. Like, I won't even make a fist until right before impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's generally how the best guys do it.
He's
got to
take the Shane Carwin approach. Shane Carwin also wasn't the most technical boxer, dude, but this guy had so much power in his hands, bro, that if he touched your face, you were dead. You were literally just on the canvas in the sleep, bro. And you could see it in his fights, bro. Also, a big guy, probably doesn't have a lot of flexibility, had all those back problems, you know, which cut his UFC career short, and you could see the stiffness in his fighting. But the second he touched you clean, because he's going in for a firefight, he was putting guys to sleep left and right.
Absolutely, and that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that should be what Hardy's sort of drawing from, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. I'd happily see him get beat up by
better strikers. Exactly. His conditioning also looks much better than in his previous fights. He was fighting tomato cans in his previous fights and gassing out, like, towards the middle of the second round, and it was just becoming, like, the most boring fight ever because these guys are just standing in front of each other just kind of sloppily throwing punches. But he actually looked – clean. He looked like he was in shape regardless of, like, his first weigh-in attempt. He was overweight. He looked like he's building on the cardio, essentially.
Yeah, he didn't even need his inhaler.
Yeah, bastard. Bryce Mitchell looked fucking awesome, and they finally got my man some camo shorts.
Yes, they did. No, and I Bryce Mitchell's becoming one of my favorite guys to watch fight.
I think he's nasty. He
a lot of fun. His weird anti-mask sort of statements he made afterwards.
Yeah.
But as a fighter, he's a lot of fun. I don't look for intelligent discourse and public health discussions from UFC fighters.
Like the Mike Perry effect. Like, the guy's dumb as rocks, but I'll watch him fight on every single fucking card if I have to.
Oh, well, exactly. It's like, why are we watching these guys? Again, like, I honestly, in general, hate when athletes and celebrities, like, try to, like, weigh in on world issues.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I don't give a fuck what you think about politics or things like that. But you don't know shit. he's a hell of a fighter though.
Loved it. Loved it from the beginning to the end. I love the camo shorts. I love that he didn't even bring it up after. I just love how like his nickname Thug Nasty. Like, this is what he's in the octagon, bro. He is literally Thug Nasty. You see, like, on his face, he's just like, he's growling at people. He's like, oh, like, he's just in there to fight and to just put himself on the line, bro. And I love watching that guy fight.
And to look at him, I would never think Thug Nasty. But yeah, it just works.
It's so good. It's so good. The first time I ever heard about Bryce Mitchell wasn't the Ultimate Fighter, wasn't the Twister, was that he had fucking cut his nuts open. It was on MMA Junkie, bro. He was doing some shit in his garage, and something had happened that he had, like, sat on a nail or something, bro. And MMA Junkie had posted, like, him in the hospital with his thumbs up and his bloody pair of drawers, dude. And that's the first time I ever heard about Bryce Mitchell.
Well, that's such, like, a ridiculous injury. Like, so it's one thing, like, when Devin Powell got his, you know, testicle bursted while training with to sit on a nail, it's like, oh.
Something outrageous like this, bro. Absolutely crazy.
Terrible.
But regardless, the guy's a class act. Love to watch him fight.
Absolutely.
Can't wait for the next one. I think he's gonna break into the top 10, top 5, I think, pretty soon.
I mean, well, because he's popped, you know, like, people are really into him. They wanna, you know, everyone gets excited about watching him fight. I mean, those are the people that you want to really push. 100%. And so my guess will be is he'll probably get, you know, like, a bigger fight now. You know what I mean? Maybe like, against, like, a name, or like, like, one of the smaller ones. But
maybe they should do Twister versus Twister, him versus the Korean Zombie, bro. The only guys to ever land Twisters in the UFC.
This is true. And the Korean Zombie is going to, you know, I think they'll probably want to give him, like, a lower-ranked opponent next.
Yeah.
You know, because he's now, you know, coming off a loss. And so, I'd be for it. That would be a fun fight.
That would be a fun-ass fight. What do you think about the fights next week? We have, I'll admit, most of the main card, it's, like, big-name guys mixed up with some up-and-comers. So, Claudia Gadelha versus Yan Xiaonan. I believe this is probably going to be for, like, breaking the top three in strawweight. Middleweight, we have Ian Heinisch against Brennan Allen, Ryony Barcelos versus Khalid Taha, and then I think this is actually a pretty compelling fight, Andre Arlovsky versus Tanner Boser.
I mean, that will be fun. It's definitely, like, a card that I feel like doesn't have a ton of, like, star power on it. But I think there's some compelling matchups on there.
Absolutely. Tanner Boser has been absolutely steamrolling people in 2020. Like, all those Apex fight cards. The guy like, walks around at 225, 230 pounds, refuses to cut down a light heavyweight. He's just fighting heavyweights, knocking everybody out. So, Arlovsky, I guess it really depends on the Arlovsky that walks into the cage on any given day. I mean, because he's gone on some real bad streaks, and then he looked really good when he was fighting, like, Travis Brown and that little streak he went on. He's a streaky fighter, but I think at this point I would pick Tanner Boser to go in there and put him out. He's the quicker fighter, power in his hands.
Me too, because and actually, Arlovsky is a good example of a striker who's kind of made it work with no chin.
Yeah.
You know, but he's kind of, you know, as long as, you know, he's on his feet, I feel like he's kind of a borrowed time. Because he doesn't really knock people out himself anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, when he wins, it's when he does more of, like, your sort of classic boxing. Like, he'll hit, make you miss, and then just sort of, like, jab and jog.
Like the Alistair Overeem approach.
Exactly. You know, it's actually Overeem's another one.
Yeah.
And so if you are a slow heavyweight, you can make it work. But, like, yeah, and I just think, you know, I would love to see him get the win. Like, I'll root for him, but I can't bet on him.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm going with Tanner Boser in this one. The guy's tough as shit. I find the mullet is insane. The power is insane. Love to watch this guy fight. Tanner Boser, round one KO, punch it in.
Could definitely see it.
Yeah, main event. I actually find this to be a really good matchup for light heavyweight. Now that Jones is gone, I think this is definitely a number one contender fight, and it's Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. Glover, yep, surprisingly, really at his age, is putting a beating on all these young guys, bro. He's putting a beating on all these guys.
Yeah, he's experiencing a bit of a resurgence. And so I think I would still put my money on
Thiago.
On Thiago Santos. Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, no worries.
And, but with that said, I would love to see Glover get the W.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really interesting because this is the first fight Thiago's been in since he tore both of his MCLs, ACLs, and the fight against John Jones, the title fight. Like to see how he's recovered from the injuries, essentially. And he's also a guy that we've never really seen be put on his back. Most of his fights are stand-up wars. And I think Glover is not a stupid guy. And Glover knows that he can out-wrestle most of the light heavyweight division, and he's got really good ground and pound, really good submissions. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Glover take it away in this fight.
I wouldn't either. It would be cool to see Glover challenge for a title again. Yeah. And speaking of that, do you see that they booked Stylebender versus Jan Blachowicz?
I was just going to ask you. Yeah. Stylebender versus Jan Blachowicz. That's going to be, I think it's a bad fight for Adesanya, dude. He's not big enough to fight a guy like Blachowicz, dude. And Blachowicz, the power that this guy has in his hands and the shit that he's been doing at light heavyweight, and he's just a monster right now.
That's my thought as well. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Izzy is better than Blachowicz.
Yeah,
technically. But I just don't think he has the size to match.
Exactly.
You know, Jan isn't the biggest light heavyweight, but Stylebender isn't the biggest middleweight.
Yeah, but Jan Blachowicz is also... I thought Jan looked big in the fight against Dominic Hayes. I thought he looked real big.
And he's also agreed.
He's no slouch on the ground either. And I feel like if he feels threatened with the strikes, he's big enough to clinch Adesanya up against the fence, try to work the takedown, and work the fight from there.
Well, and I'm not sure Stylebender has the power to put him away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like... Yeah, I think it's a bad matchup for Stylebender. I think it's way too soon in his career to be trying to do like the whole champ thing.
Yep.
And but that said, I mean, who else is he gonna fight? Like, I'm not super eager to watch him fight Robert Whittaker again. Cannonier lost. Nobody. I don't think anybody wants to see him fight Romero again. I might as well.
Yeah, it is what it is, bro. But at the end of the day, I think stylistically it's a really bad matchup. Obviously, Israel Adesanya is the best at middleweight at the moment. He's a really talented striker. I mean, the guy has over 100 fights in total, mixed martial arts and kickboxing and boxing, etc. But I think Blachowicz is just too big. He's got too much power at 205. And I think that if he clips Izzy, he can put him away. And if he decides to take this fight down to the ground, like, he has plenty of tools to finish the fight that way as well.
I agree. I mean, and what I think I would have preferred is to have Izzy do what Anderson did.
Yeah.
Like, during a couple periods where they kind of needed to rebuild 185, that's when Anderson would kind of do, like, a fun fight at 205.
Yeah.
Like against a James Irvin, a Stephen Bonner, or a Forrest Griffin.
Absolutely.
So maybe give him, have Stylebender fight, like, you know, like somebody with name recognition, but he's maybe on like a rough streak, like an Anthony Smith or something.
Yeah.
You know, rather than fighting Jan Blachowicz.
I mean, that's what they did with Anderson Silva, essentially, right? Like, his first fight at 205 wasn't against, it was against James Irvin. Then he fought guys like Stephen Bonner, and then he fought Forrest Griffin. You know, it took some time before he really, you know, was fighting these big names at 205.
Exactly. Well, because also, too, the champ thing, I think, is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, the only, because the only person, and Dana's lamented about this in the past, who's actually defended at both weights is Amanda Nunes. That's really only because the 145 division's only being kept around for her to keep her active. You know, but for, like, real divisions that have a ton of people in them, like 185 and 205, like, you don't want to tie it up because you're trying to defend.
Exactly.
You know, and also, too, it's kind of the basic human nature component of it, too. if I'm already champ at a heavier weight, why the fuck would I want to cut weight to be champ at a lighter one too?
That's like TJ Dillashaw, you know, when he dropped down to fight Henry Cejudo, and then he got stopped in 1 minute.
Well, yeah, and, like, you know, that's why, like, once McGregor won the title at 155, you knew there was no chance in hell he was going back down to 145.
He would never go back down to 145. He looked like a skeleton at 145. But regardless, if he did decide to go down to 145, I don't think that there's a single 145-pounder that would beat him.
No, me neither. I think Conor would have arguably become the best 145er ever had he stayed there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we never saw him against Frankie Edgar. We never saw, and then he never, you know, he never defended his belt. You know, though I would have loved to see him fight Max again. I would have loved to, you know, Volkanovski
would be a compelling fight.
It would. I mean, for you know, Aldo's sake, it would have been nice to see him get a rematch with him.
Yeah, but stage in his career, I think that was the last straw. The straw that broke the camel's back. Was that fight?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
He was never the same after that knockout.
No. But I think for both – but I think for Conor's legacy, that would have been best for him. Because to this day, I mean, you don't hear it about it very often, but people will say that he caught Aldo.
Yeah.
That Aldo didn't lose. He was caught, which generally means you lost. It's like you just lost early.
You lost super early, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think that fight would have gone any different. Miraculously got up from that punch, I think it would have been a long night for Jose Aldo.
Yeah, I mean, stylistically, it's just a bad matchup. You know, McGregor was too big, hits too hard, and Aldo, I don't feel like has performed as well against southpaws in the past.
Yeah.
And that just lined up McGregor's left hand perfectly.
100%. And the way he fights, you know.
Exactly. Like
that aggressive in your face is what McGregor thrives with.
Oh, well, exactly. It's like, but all that said, you know, when he beat Eddie Alvarez, obviously he wasn't going to torture himself to get down to 145 again. Yeah. And I can't expect Israel Adesanya to want to do the same if he's able to get one over on Blachowicz.
Yeah.
100%. You know, and so granted, he did already kind of clear out the 185 division.
Yeah.
Because I think he versus Till would have been fun. I don't think there's a chance Till wins.
Yeah.
And so, I'm actually more than ready for people to stop pretending that Darren Till's an elite fighter and have that be over. But other than him and Cannonier, who just lost, how good is being everybody else?
100%, man. Touching back on 155, I don't think it's anything we've talked about yet. Michael Chandler. I mean, he weighed in on Fight Island. Khabib obviously retiring. Not sure if he's going to stay retired. I've heard some speculation that he was kind of in the moment, and then he's been talking to Dana about maybe trying to go 30-0, and maybe that there's a fight in the works. But what do you think about Chandler in the mix at 155 in the UFC?
And I think it's definitely really interesting. I'd love to see him against a guy like Tony, or I think there's a ton of good matchups for him. I think he would lose to Khabib like everybody else would. I think there's a lot of fun matchups, and it could be what's needed to sort of inject some life and excitement into it, especially in the vacuum that Khabib were to leave.
100%. I think that it's going to breathe some life into the UFC. At least it's going to make some more compelling matchups. I think that him against anyone in the top five will be an interesting fight, whether it's Tony or whether it's Justin Gaethje, whether it's Dustin Poirier, maybe even Dan Hooker. You know, I would love to watch all those guys fight against Michael Chandler. I think it's a really good matchup.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro. Regardless, I think I just read Dana White confirmed that Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 2 is pretty much a done deal. How do you see a rematch like that going?
I still picture Conor winning. I think Poirier has a better chance at 155.
Yep.
But it's hard to picture Conor losing it. I just think he's a more skilled on the feet version of Dustin. Yeah. I think Dustin has better jiu-jitsu than Conor does. But I also don't picture Dustin taking him down. And so I think Conor wins.
And we also saw that Conor has exceptional takedown defense. Like in the Khabib fight, granted, he only stuffed one takedown. But with a guy like Dustin Poirier, who obviously doesn't have the same wrestling pedigree as Khabib, even if Dustin decided to try to take the fight to the ground, I think there's no chance he can get McGregor down.
Exactly. And also, too, people forget in the Conor-Khabib fight, because of how it ended, that while ultimately a lot of the vast majority of the wrestling exchanges ended up going poorly for Conor, ultimately,
yeah,
he was still holding his own in a lot of those positions in the clinch against the fence until the takedown attack. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, he did prove he has really good takedown defense. And so, like you said, I don't think if Dustin decided to turn into a grappling match, if he would be successful.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think McGregor takes the rematch, and I'm excited to see the fights. Otherwise, kind of shitty, not a lot of depth to talk about in terms of fights for the next card. But we'll touch base again next week. And we have Davison Figueiredo versus Alex Perez and Valentina Shevchenko versus Jennifer Maia on the next card, which I think are – some matchups we can dive a little deeper into.
Hell yeah. I dig it. Awesome, all right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to each other soon. Later. Bro.